Welcome to the Taylorsville Times Audiorama, our periodical podcast which brings you stories direct from the pages of the Taylorsville Times. This is your host, Micah Henry.
Robbie's budding musical career. Tell us about how you got started in music and some of your musical influences. What was your first exposure to music?
The first voice we hear is Robbie, followed by his father, Gary.
Well, I guess first exposure to music would probably have had to have been in church, really.
Church music and probably the Eagles.
Okay.
And so he grew up listening to a lot of classic rock and country music and even some bluegrass. And then he eventually branched off into the old time genre and has really made a name for himself. Mom and Dad are proud of him. He's a good young man and very trustworthy, but a very accomplished musician these days, attending all these fiddlers conventions. He'll get into that in a little bit though. What instrument did you play first?
We had that little plywood guitar, and you know, you beat and bang on it when you're little, and never really learned anything. And then I was in 7th or 8th grade, 12 or 13 years old, and we got a little blue Ibanez from the music store in town, and learned a couple chords on it, and Chad Ritchie, who I play with a lot, he showed me a few more chords and asked if I knew what old time music was, and I, you know, just had no clue. I knew what bluegrass and country and all that kind of stuff was, but kind of went and learned a lot of the classic country repertoire, what they call the cowboy chords, you know, three chords and the truth. Not very hard stuff, but you know, kind of stayed away from playing with other people until I felt like I was good enough to get around other people and try and hold my own, I guess.
So started out with guitar first and got pretty comfortable with that instrument. And then was it Chad or someone else introduced you to other instruments?
Well, I always liked Earl Scruggs, and my cousin had a banjo. Maybe a 70s or 80s Japanese import, what you call a master clone, a clone of a Gibson banjo. Tried to learn what you call three finger, bluegrass, roll style, you know, whatever people call it, different things. And I guess I could kind of halfway play some of the tunes, but you know, it never really clicked. And then by the time I found old time, I bought a banjo. And I said, well, I've got this banjo sitting around that doesn't get used. I might as well try and learn to play Clawhammer, and that's kind of, I guess you could say the rest is history. It's been a couple years since I tried to do that, and it's probably what I enjoy playing most now.
You've developed your banjo playing such that you're comfortable playing that as well as a guitar in public and in front of audiences. And can you tell me about where you play?
Yeah, we play in a band setting. We might play for square dances, or might go play, you know, somewhere more local for maybe something like a molasses making, or just, you know, anywhere people want music. But we've played a few times at the Earl Theater in Mount Airy. They have a radio program every Saturday morning, the merry-go-round. They say it's the longest running radio program besides the Grand Ole Opry east of the Mississippi River,
and that's the WPAQ
in Mount Airy. And so we like playing up there. We played at the Autumn Leaves Festival that they put on in Mount Airy. We've played at the Carter Fold in Hilton's, Virginia, the Carter Family Fold, right beside the grocery store that A.P. Carter started way back in, oh, I don't know, in 1930s or 40s maybe. And so that's always a lot of fun. And then we go around to the Fiddler's Conventions. You know, there's Mount Airy, Surrey County, and Dobson. And then you have Galax that just went to. They do one in Sparta. Really, all around, once you get north of Wilkesboro, there's quite a few spread out. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, play quite a few places. Not as much around here as we used to, but, you know, just whenever we get invited.
You also have WPAQ, no,
WAME.
Piedmont Folkways.
Yeah, the Piedmont Folkways. Yeah, over in Statesville in the Clock Tower building. Danny Wicker, he runs a program over there, and he tries to get a lot of local traditional musicians, folk musicians, whatever you want to call it. And so we played over there a few times, and it's always, always fun.
And your band is Chad Ritchie, Linda Cabe, and yourself, right?
Yeah,
for the most part, when you're playing in a band setting.
And Richard Cockrum,
yeah,
on bass from Oak Hill. And so it's me and Chad from Taylorsville, and Linda's from Miller's Creek. We say she's the mayor of Miller's Creek. And then Richard's from Oak Hill. And so we're the Brushy Mountain Buddies.
Okay.
So we'll play at places around here.
And you've had a recording already too, haven't you?
Yeah, we put out a gospel album without Richard Cochran, without the bass. We just went to the Chapel of Rest over in Happy Valley in Caldwell County. And just one day we sat down and set up the microphones and, you know, got everything set up. And we just, I forget, maybe recorded 19 songs, something like that.
Wow.
So it was a fun little project. And,
yep. And Chad was the mastermind, you know, with all his technical expertise and,
yep,
set everything up and,
yep,
got the, you know, all the songs sent to the company and to make the CDs, and it's on Spotify and other streaming services. So
Bandcamp, yeah.
Yeah, it's a really good CD. It sounds good.
Yeah, his microphones, his mixing board, you know, all the equipment was his, and so we just plugged and played, I guess, is all me and Linda had to do.
Yep, basically.
Yeah.
I tell you, one of the things, I mean, I remember back when Robbie was just a young feller, and he sang Somebody Loves Me at church. Tanner Mundy, everybody knows Tanner Mundy.
Mm-hmm.
He was playing the piano, and Robbie was up there with a mic that was about as big as his arm, seemed like, and he was singing Somebody Loves Me. And then he kind of went away from singing. I guess it, you know, singing can be an embarrassing thing if you don't think you're that good or whatever, but past couple of years, it's like he's learned all these songs, and he knows the words to so many tunes. It's just all in his head. That's what astounds me. And our family really has no musical talent. This is all training and then God-given talent. And his ability and not endurance, but what am I trying, perseverance maybe? Mm-hmm. He just would never give up. He's like, I'm going to the basement. I'm going to go play for 2 or 3 hours. You know, and that's what he's doing with fiddle right now. He's learning fiddle. He's not ready for public consumption on fiddle yet, but he's pretty close.
It's a lot harder.
It's a hard instrument.
For sure.
And it's loud. anyway.
So your instrument repertoire, I guess, is guitar and banjo, and fiddle's coming along?
Hopefully it will be in a few years.
Okay.
You know, they say it takes a while to get anything to sound like music on the fiddle. You know, there's just so much going on there, so many moving parts, you know, so it's,
mm-hmm,
it's what I call a slow burn. You know, you can maybe, if you play an instrument, a lot of times you can be playing a tune on another one, another stringed instrument, and maybe, you know, a month, 2 months, but with the fiddle, it's just, it's different than anything I've ever tried to do before. Mm.
Do you have some favorite songs in the old time genre?
Yeah, there's and then you can have favorite songs, you know, in most genres of music, but in old time you can have favorite versions of favorite songs, you know. So, I mean, I like a tune called Juneapple, but, you know, there's a fiddler from Mount Airy, or a little community called Toast, Tommy Gerald. He might play Juneapple one way, and then you go up the mountain and, you know, you listen to another fiddler, banjo player, maybe Wade Ward from Independence, Virginia, for example, and he might play it completely different. And it's not, you know, that they've decided to play it one way or the other. It's just how they learned from who was around when they were growing up. You know, you didn't have cars and say, well, I'm going to go.
You didn't have cars.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to go drive up to Galax and learn from such and such. You know, it's just, you might walk as far as you could, or you might meet somebody in the road, you know. And
right.
I know Tommy would tell a story on one of the albums he put out. He was about 15 or 16 years old and started to play. He was, said he started out to a dance and he's in the road and he met this old Civil War veteran. He said, you know, let me see your fiddle. And he played him a tune. And he tuned it a way he never had, you know, never had heard it before. But the odd thing about it is the fiddle tuning that he'd never heard was what we now call standard tuning, what everybody who's learning to play the violin, fiddle, whatever, tunes it to now. Mm-hmm. And he had never heard it tuned that way just because of how he grew up and who he was around.
What is the time period for old time music? Is that, I know it's 1800s, what, into the 1930s and 40s?
And it's from whenever people first come over with the violin or fiddle to until people quit playing it, I guess.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, you think there's some tunes in the repertoire that are like old English ballads, you know, what people talk about, the Child ballads, who the Child had collected them. His last name was Child. And mm-hmm. then you've got some of the Scots-Irish tunes, you know, that, but it's all, you know, it's a big melting pot. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, it's really the earliest example of American music, just because you take the fiddle from, you know, the British Isles, and then you take the banjo, came over from Africa, or what we now know as the banjo, and I mean, it all came together, and it's like unlike anything you would have ever heard anywhere else in the world at that point in time.
Is Appalachian music, is that synonymous with old time?
Can be. Depends on how you define it, how broad.
Okay.
You've got bluegrass, you've got old time, and then to some people, old time is just bad bluegrass. You know, they might not know the difference. I mean, I've been told playing somewhere, you know, they love bluegrass music, and you just kind of nod and say, yeah, I do too. But, you know, but that's not what you're playing. But
right.
people see the fiddle, banjo, guitar, maybe a mandolin, you know, and they're just, you know, when they've never been exposed to something, they don't know.
They were raised on bluegrass.
Right.
And that's what they love, and that's what they want to hear.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But all the bluegrass tunes, they pretty much originated from some form of old time song, right? Or not all of them.
A lot of the standards, a lot of the ones in the public domain that weren't, you know, written by anybody. A lot of them came from songs recorded by the Carter family, and you know, and they'll play a lot of fiddle tunes, which is how I realized that I liked old time. My favorite part of bluegrass was the fiddle tunes. And then I realized there was a music that was nothing but fiddle tunes. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I mean, there's been Bill Monroe and Flatten Scruggs, you know, they wrote a lot of songs and they you know, there's copyright protection on a lot of that stuff. But, you know, if you know the song 9 Pound Hammer, Roll On Buddy, you know, a lot of those standards, those came from maybe not even necessarily old time, but just the, you know, folk tradition of passing it down. And
in addition to Chad Ritchie, have you had who's also from Allendale, correct?
A lot of good musicians up that way.
Yes. Have you had other local or original mentors, so to speak?
Well, Linda Cade, that we play with, she's been a big inspiration with her banjo playing. She learned to play banjo from Emily Spencer, who plays in the White Top Mountain Band, played with her husband Thornton, and then before him, Albert Hash, legendary fiddler and fiddle maker. And so Linda's been a really big inspiration. And Richard Bowman, also, he's a master fiddler from Mount Airy. I actually just got done spending a good bit of time with him at Galax. When I go to these fiddler's conventions, pretty much his camp is the one I like to hang around. Just he learned from, you know, all the guys that are dead and gone now that I listen to. He learned from Tommy Gerald, Benton Flip, and Ernest East. You know, a lot of those guys around the Surrey County area, as well as some folks from Southwest Virginia, that, you know, he's about as close as you can get to actually meeting those people now. You know, I say that kind of feel like I've met him through osmosis, listening to his stories. You know, you try and soak up as much as you can. So,
right.
Yeah.
His fiddle playing is out of this world.
No, it's just, it's strong dance fiddling. It's like nothing I've ever really heard before.
And what's interesting, when they're playing together, whether it's Robbie, Chad, and Richard, or whoever's together, it's like they just kind of look at each other, like, let's do this song. And they just go into it, and he starts singing it, and I'm like, how does he do that? You know, because I can't play anything. So, yeah, it's been a really cool friendship between him and Chad and Richard and Linda and everybody. I mean, it's like a big family, you know, musical family.
I hear that from other artists, you know, music can create such strong bonds and, you know, really create close relationships when people are bonding over music and learning from each other. And you've sort of wanted to give back, I think. Didn't I see that you had served as a junior Appalachian musician instructor?
I did. I helped Chad. Chad was the instructor for a while. At one point, there were a few instructors, and then it went on a brief hiatus, and then Chad came back, and I helped him for a while, and then he kind of stepped down from doing it, and I did it for a while, but it got to the point where school and some other stuff kind of started to get in the way, and so I had to stop doing it. But yeah, I mean, really, the biggest thing for any form of culture to survive is passing it down to, you know, folks younger than you. I mean, there's ways of life really that aren't as prevalent as they used to be, and that's because, you know, it just never got passed down.
What are your plans? Tell me, you're going back to Appalachian?
Yeah, moved up there this past Saturday and came back yesterday to spend some time at home before classes start. But hopefully over the next 2 years, I'll graduate with a degree in management at the College of Business there and then minor in computer information systems. And then, I guess from there, we'll see what happens. I'm not exactly sure.
Okay.
But, you know, kind of with a degree in management, you know, it's kind of open where you can go. And so that's, I like to leave, you know, a little bit of leeway where I can kind of go where I want and do what I want. So we'll just have to see what happens, I guess.
Do you think you'll be able to continue some practicing or some gigs up there in that area? Or?
Yeah, we've actually got some stuff scheduled. If you know where what they call Blowing Rock Boulevard or Highway 321 through Lenore, there's a Saunders Old Country Store. We've got a couple of gigs set there. And you know, I was kind of cautious in saying, you know, I can be there. But I figure it's on, you know, get some stuff on Saturdays. Hopefully there won't be any school obligations, and it's maybe a 20-minute drive for me. So I figure it's a good way to kind of stay in the mix.
They also have the Jones House up on King Street in Boone, and that's old. They have an old time night on Thursdays.
Yeah, they have bluegrass and old time jams, and I think the old time jams on Thursday nights. And so I'm sure I'll go to that.
And how old are you, Robbie?
I'm 19. Be 20 in September.
Okay.
You want to tell Michael about the ribbons and awards you won this summer?
Yeah.
How many have you won total?
Well, if you count participation trophies, 14.
We don't count those.
If you count ones where you won something, it's 13. We started at the Mount Airy Fiddlers Convention, camped up there, and really, I guess you could say that's the first time I've competed. I'd competed at a smaller thing maybe a year and a half or so before, but I don't really count that. It was kind of a, I don't know, it was a youth contest.
So youth contest.
You get into, once you get into the adult category, that's where things kind of start to get serious. And competed at Mount Airy, and didn't place there and was kind of disappointed, but, you know, not discouraged. And we had there's another Fiddler's Convention that they do in Dobson a couple weeks later. And I went up there, and I wasn't sure whether I was going to compete at all, but I said I was going to do it just to get over, you know, the nerves aspect of it. I don't know if it's stage fright or just actual, you know, nervousness, but we went up there and Chad backed me up and I competed in the banjo and the folk song and had to go home that night. I think the next day was Father's Day maybe, and I was listening to WPAQ. They broadcast it over the radio, and I found out that it won third in folk song, and I was happy just because I'd placed in any category, you know. And then I listened to the banjo, and they counted all the way down. They placed through five, and they started fifth, and they named off the fifth, fourth, third, second, And I turned and I said, well, I guess I didn't win anything in the banjo, and I was kind of disappointed. And then they named up the first place winner, and it was my name. And I kind of sat there for a minute, and I thought, am I dreaming? I'd won that one, and I was very happy about that.
So that was your first ribbon, right?
And it was a win. I never really expected to win. I thought I might play, never expected to win. And so I think I said I was over the moon was how I described it.
He did. I was like, I've never heard him say he's over the moon, but he was. It was a big day in your life because music's his love, you know, and his girlfriend. Got to throw that in there.
But it was a lot of fun, you know, and not just that, but, you know, we sat outside, and they do it on the campus of Surrey Community College, and it's a pretty campus, and they had a little courtyard. And we sat out there, and we got to play some, me and Chad did with a buddy of ours. And we got to play with Richard Bowman and sat and visited with some folks. And it was, you know, you just get to hear the stories of all the stuff that's happened that you weren't around to see or know about. And so you just kind of feel, I don't know, a big, big sense of community. And that's why it was just about my favorite Fiddler's Convention this summer. Surrey was. Not that it's, you know, the biggest or, but I mean, it was a fun time and spent with, you know, friends. So we went from there. I think the next Fiddler's Convention, they have it in Grayson County, Virginia, in a community called Elk Creek. And it had, Elk Creek, it had rained really bad. I'm trying to remember, it was that week we had such awful thunderstorms in June. And they had got a lot of it too. And I wasn't sure. Normally up there, I'll go on a Thursday and camp and come home Saturday. But I think I drove up on Friday, really with the sole intention of getting my ribbons from somebody that I had not been at the festival at Surrey to pick up. But I drove Friday and packed all the camping stuff, me and my girlfriend did, and we rode up there, and I think they had the banjo contest and folk song contest on Friday. So I rode up there and got my ribbons and got signed up to compete, and I wasn't sure what to expect. It's a little bit bigger than the contest at Surrey, and competed, and in the folk song first, I think. Yeah, they had that category first, and that was the first time I had competed unaccompanied. And so, you know, you talk about getting nervous and your hands shaking a little bit, all those people, you know, especially when people are judging you, but it went all right and pretty good. And then did the banjo contest and had somebody back me up for that, and it went well. And wasn't sure what to expect, never having competed there, but had to leave early from that one again. See, the thing is, I've never been around to hear any of the results or pick up ribbons on stage.
Oh.
Because they do it a lot of times 11:30, 12 o'clock, you know, Saturday night going into Sunday morning, and I try to be at church as much as possible. And you have to pay for an extra night of camping, too, if you end up staying. So I'll head out once it starts to get dark. But I found out the next morning I'd placed third in the banjo and folk song categories. But a lot of these, they'll let you either compete in one category, one instrument category, and a folk song or dance category, or just one individual category, period. Tazewell, I think they let you compete in two instrument categories, in folk song or dance. And so we went up there and competed in folk song, banjo, and guitar, and ended up placing first in the folk song, third in the banjo category, and fifth in guitar, which I'd never really thought I'd ever place in a guitar category. There's just so many good bluegrass pickers, you know, that they've got all the flashy licks and stuff. And I think I went up there and I played a Carter Family. I think I played a Carter Family waltz. It's called Little Moses. And I never, ever thought that would place in a guitar category. But I don't know, it's kind of obscure. And I guess that might have gave me points. But the next festival would have been the Allegheny County Fiddler's Convention in Sparta, which it's, you just drive, you go up to North Wilkesboro and you just take 18 all the way, and it's at the, I don't know if you've ever seen the fairgrounds up there. They just do it in the fairgrounds and where they have a lot of agricultural shows and stuff. And they do it there, and they're one of the ones you can only compete in one category, period. And so I went up there and competed in the banjo, and found out that I'd placed fifth, and I was excited about that. It's probably, there's two or three real big ones that happen in this part of the, I guess you could call it this part of the Blue Ridge. You've got Mount Airy and Galax are the top two, and then I'd say Elk Creek and Sparta are probably tied for third. they'd round out third and fourth at least. And so to place fifth there, I felt good. You know, and you feel like you get stronger every time you do that. And, you know, I felt less nerves every single time. And so I thought, you know, getting ready for Galax, I'll go to a couple more and then see if I can't do that and, you know, make a run at a place there. And so we went on to, was it Ashe County?
Yeah, I went to Ashe County with you.
Up in West.
It was a lot of fun.
Up in West Jefferson, yeah. Just take 421 and then get on to 221. And they do it at, I think they call it the Ashe County Park. It's a really neat place. They have like Ashe County History Museum. But competed there unaccompanied. I'd started making myself do unaccompanied just to finally get over that fear. And ended up placing second in the banjo and third in the folk song. And then I think from there, the next weekend, went to Fries, Virginia. It's a little community just northwest of Galax.
F-R-I-E-S. Yeah. Looks like fries.
Fries, okay.
They say in the winter they freeze, and in the summer it fries. So, we fried. It was hot, but placed the same as Ashe County, second in the banjo and third in the folk song there, and had a good time. And then,
let me throw in a question here. Do you usually see some of the same musicians popping up at these where you go?
Yeah, I call them, you know, you've got the usual suspects at a few of these. There's some people that will just go to the big ones, you know, Mount Airy, Grayson County, Galax, and Sparta. Mm-hmm. And then you'll have folks like me that I didn't do it until this year, but there's folks that'll go to about every single one. You know, there's folks that'll maybe they're teachers and they have summers off, or, you know, they have flexible schedules and they're able to go to a lot of them. And some folks kind of have to pick the ones that they want to go to. But yeah, there's a usual cast of suspects that'll show up to a lot of these. And so you can kind of guess, you know, who's going to place where just based off past results and how you know people. And I'll count, you know, okay, who's here, who's not here. What does that leave open? Where can I kind of squeeze in there or maybe move up? And so, yeah, it's kind of, I wouldn't call it sizing people up, but you do that whether you intend to or not, you know.
When you get on scene at a fiddler's convention like that, do you know what you're going to play, or do you sometimes like change it up and what you're intending to play depending on who's there?
Well, I started off at Mount Airy. I played, somebody let me play a Kyle Creed banjo, which is, for me, that was like life changing. You know, about, you talk about in terms of regional luthiers or instrument makers, Kyle Creed, his banjos are considered holy grail banjos. You know, like you talk about a holy grail instrument, that's what his banjos are for people that play the music I do. And so that was a big deal for me. And, you know, I played one of his tunes, Darling Nellie Gray, and I didn't place when I played it, so I decided to change my tune. And I learned a version of his Liberty, fiddle tune they call Liberty, his version off of one of his albums. And I said, I'm going to play this from now on. You know, I kind of try and pick stuff that I let muscle memory take over. If you get nervous, you know, something you could play in your sleep. And so for every banjo and folk song contest since Mount Airy, I've played Liberty, Kyle Creed's Liberty, and a tune called Rosalie McFall, which I'd learned from a recording of Fred Cockrum and Max Snow, both from the Mount Airy area.
Mm-hmm. Let's listen to Robbie play Liberty by Kyle Creed. Thank you.
So I guess if somebody were to play one of my tunes, you know, I would have to figure out something on the fly, especially if, you know, you're playing close to them, because it's like, I don't know how the judges would feel, you know, it's like, are you just trying to copy somebody or not? Mm-hmm. But, you know, you go to Galax and you listen to the band contest and you might hear a certain tune played 15 or 16 times. I think this past year they maybe had 50 or 60-something old-time bands and 80-something bluegrass bands. So, you know, the tunes are going to get repeated somewhere. But, you know, as long as they're spaced out, I guess it's not too big a problem.
Don't have to worry about that too much.
Yeah. I mean, there's only... a lot of people say all old-time sound the same anyway, so...
Yes, they do. But it really doesn't. It's a genre that has really grown on me as a person and as a father of a musician. You know, I used to just kind of walk away when he started playing, but if I'm tapping my toe and enjoying it, I'm like, oh yeah, I know that song, and I know that one, yeah. So it's a good, people ought to listen to it a little more. Right. And not just say, oh, I like bluegrass better.
Or anything better.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But now, if I ask him to play something on guitar, whether it's like, you know, an old 70s song or something, like that, he's like, no, I don't like that. That's too modern.
Well, it's a lot of people that don't play music don't understand the difference in the styles, you know, and you can kind of, I could play something sort of advanced in the style that I play, but it might be hard to play something that some people would consider basic, you know, that would be like a rock song or blues or what, you know. It's different. There's a different sort of technique involved, whether it be with the picking hand or the left hand, the fretting hand, but it's different. Mm-hmm.
And after Freeze, were there any other conventions?
After Freeze, there's been one about every weekend, and Galax is the big one. It's about the last one that people go to. And so it's the weekend after Freeze. They're right near each other. And went up to Galax, and Galax is another one that just lets you compete in one category. And went up there, I think, Thursday evening and played in the banjo contest and wasn't sure really what to expect. I had never seen so many banjo players, you know, in my life. They've got what they call the big yellow tent behind the stage. And you go back there and you talk about sizing people up. That's where it really goes on, probably more than anywhere else. I looked around and I'm trying to see, well, who's this? I've never seen this person before, you know, trying to figure out. Galax places through 10, so many people come. And so I was kind of trying to see, well, where might I fit in? And there's a big thing. Nobody wants to play first. All the people that are serious about competing, nobody wants to play first. People want to play last. And I thought, well, there's no way I can play last. There's so many of us here. We'll be here till, you know, 10 o'clock at night if we all wait to play last. And so I waited till about maybe 20 or 30 people went. And I competed and I listened for a while. And I'm not exactly sure how many banjo players played, anywhere from maybe mid-50s to about 70, I would wager. And ended up placing 8th, which I wasn't expecting that. I thought I might would maybe be lucky to get 10, you know, and just barely crack it. So I was very happy with 8th. Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you what's cool is when you see the results for these conventions and competitions, mm-hmm. and seeing his name on there and seeing Alexander County or Taylorsville, North Carolina, because, I mean, most of the time you're going to see somebody from Virginia or Tennessee or, you know, not our area.
Right.
So it's cool, man. It was really cool to see Robbie representing our county for us, you know.
That's great.
And then to see yourself, you know, in the mix with people that you, when you're first learning, you kind of really look up to them, and, you know, that's the thing that makes old-time music so appealing to me, is, you know, if you play country music or rock music, you know, you'd never play with, you know, that upper tier of music. Like, you'd never play with people that are considered to be the best in that genre. But in old-time, I mean, you go to Galax or Mount Airy, and you might just could ask somebody, you know, hey, can I sit down and join your jam and play a tune or two with you? And they'll say, you know, most of them will say, sure. I mean, that's what we kind of talk about, you know, getting to play with Richard Bowman, you know, as good a fiddler as he is, and, you know, all he's done for the genre. And
You're not going to go sit down and play with Kirk Hammett from Metallica.
Yeah, so. I mean, you could, that's the thing. You know, you wouldn't even ever meet him, much right. less play music with him. Consider yourself one of their friends. I mean, so I don't know. It's kind of, it's different. I mean, music is all about community, but I think old time especially.
If folks of any age are interested in learning more about old time music, or how would you suggest they go about that?
Well, if you look it up on YouTube, there's a lot of good resources on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Music. I will say the one kind of barrier to learning from sources in old time, everybody's all about the source, you know, where it came from, and learning the correct version, if there is such a thing. You have to get into vinyl records or have somebody that can digitally record vinyl records and send you the files. And so I've got a lot of that stuff. I've had a lot of that stuff sent to me. I've recorded some albums myself that, you know, some people didn't have that I was interested in. And so I think there's a website called slipperyhill.com. It's a guy who's put together a lot of field recordings and vinyl recordings, whether it be 33, 78, 45, you know, and so you can find a lot of stuff on there. And then there's been some good documentaries. PBS sometimes will have stuff. Alan Lomax and his dad, John Lomax, they had a lot of stuff. So, yeah, really, if you want visual stuff, you know, that you can watch, I guess YouTube would probably be the best place.
But it really would be advantageous to a new artist in old time to have a mentor like you yourself did through Chad. You probably wouldn't be where you are today if Chad hadn't took you under his wing and you learned a lot of stuff from him.
Right. Yeah, I didn't even know what old time was, you know. Didn't like it either when I did hear it. And, you know, a lot of the, what I call the old timers, guys that are no longer living but kind of were, you know, still famous for their tunes. Tommy Gerald, for example, he's kind of fiddling, kind of scratchy. But you got to think, a lot of these guys, when they were first being recorded, were already in their 60s, 70s, 80s during the folk revival. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I hated the scratch at first, and it was so rough, and it wasn't as polished as what I was used to hearing. But now, I mean, I hear, you know, the really smooth stuff, and I'm kind of like, well, that just doesn't. I don't know, it just doesn't do it for me. I don't know, too smooth, not old timey enough.
It's not authentic, it's not old enough.
Mm-hmm. Are there resources where folks can learn, maybe if they don't even know how to hold an instrument or what they would like to play as far as fiddle or banjo or guitar? Is there anything locally like the Jam? Junior Appalachian musician still.
If they've got the classes going, Jam is a good resource. I know Studio 3 teaches a lot of instruments and styles and stuff. And there's always local instructors. I'm not so sure about old time, but you know, there's plenty of folks in the surrounding area that can teach, you know, bluegrass music. But really, you can about teach yourself to play old time. You know, I learned to play guitar and before I ever knew what old time was. And really, an old time guitar style is just what they call boom chuck rhythm. You just pick a bass note and strum your chord. And then if you can play one thing, you can learn another. There's so much on YouTube, you know. Especially with banjo, it's all about what they call your claw hammer lick. And really, it's just bum diddy, you know. You pick a string, strum with your index finger, middle finger, and then you hit what they call the fifth string or the thumb string with your thumb, and that's your rhythm. And you just do that until you can do it in your sleep. I think I did it just watching TV. You know, I just sat there doing it until I could keep doing it. Then you might add a chord or, you know, and then try and play your melody. So it can seem daunting at first.
Sounds pretty easy.
I mean, it really can seem daunting at first, but it's hard to do, but there's harder stuff, you know, that you could try and accomplish.
Like fiddle?
Yeah, fiddle's a lot harder. I don't know. You see some people that started when they were really young, you know, and they're my age or younger, and they're, But it's just mind-boggling, the amount of effort that fiddle takes. But, yeah, I mean, if you can kind of play an instrument, I mean, there's much harder, you know, genres to play guitar in. I mean, I love to play banjo. It's my favorite instrument to play right now. But, I mean, I enjoy playing guitar in an old-time setting just because, you know, you can kind of you might could throw in some runs, like some bass runs, or, you know, but you really can just sit back and enjoy the music. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have to worry so much about melody. You just have to know the chords. And so it's kind of fun to do for a change.
Banjo's not so hard on your hands either, is it?
Yeah, banjo's not near as, you know, guitar uses, if you want to be heard playing rhythm, you have to use pretty thick gauge strings. And so that can kind of, I've got calluses on my left hand, and normally I've got indentions. I haven't played as much guitar lately with moving in, but normally I'll have indentions from the strings pretty permanently in my left hand fingers. But yeah, banjo's a breeze to play. I mean, I've sat and played banjo for 12 or 13 hours, you know, at a festival before. At Galax, I got there on Friday and left about, I think I got there at 10:30, and I played till 11:30.
Wow.
Got up maybe twice.
You didn't even eat all the time, did you?
And I ate lunch at Galax and then went right back to playing. So,
well, hopefully we'll keep hearing some great things about you and your music and as you progress in the fiddle. And I appreciate you taking time, both of you, to talk to us today and tell us a little bit about how you represent Alexander County in the music area. Any closing thoughts?
For anybody listening, I guess, give old-time roots music, bluegrass, whatever it is, a chance. You know, where we are kind of now with music, popular music, it's all kind of, there's an old Charlie Poole song, Fallen by the Wayside. That's kind of how a lot of this stuff is going. So it really doesn't matter. Just do anything that kind of promotes, you know, stuff from our forefathers, ancestors. You know, it's all kind of getting forgotten. And so somebody's got to pick up the torch and carry it.
And another thought is, we were researching online and we saw a lot of old articles or clips from the Taylorsville Times or maybe even the Mountain Scout.
Mountain Scout.
And it was like talking about, we had fiddlers conventions here in Alexander County.
It happened at the old courthouse before it burned down.
But we don't have anything like that anymore. So
yeah, there used to be a lot of dances and stuff, you know. And mm-hmm. I mean, there was old time music here. The Carolina Tar Heels were a group. Actually, Mike Seeger, who was a big advocate for folk music during the 60s and 70s, he came down here and recorded some in Wilkes County and then some on the Alexander and Wilkes line, if I'm remembering right, of the Carolina Tar Heels. And that was Doc Walsh, Garley Foster, who was from Taylorsville. He's actually buried in the Taylorsville Cemetery. And then maybe Doc's son, I can't remember. Clarence Ashley, though, was also part of that group, who played a lot with Doc Watson when Doc was first getting discovered. So
Clarence Tom Ashley?
Yep.
Okay.
Played in the Carolina Tar Heels. And there's some recordings that can be found. There's actually a vinyl album that was taken from old recordings, and it's pretty easy to find if you know Discogs or eBay, stuff like that. And then there's some old recordings that have actually made it onto Spotify, I think. So,
you mentioned Tommy Jarrell, of course, but my memory is, as a dad and, you know, you growing up in the house, Doc Watson was a major influence. You brought his name up, so I had to mention something about Doc.
Yeah, and Doc was an old-time musician before he was ever considered a bluegrass musician. You know, he played with his father-in-law, Gaither Carlton. I think maybe his cousin was Willard Watson. Willard was toy maker, banjo player, dancer. And so, I mean, it's just, you know, music was a part of about every family, you know, way back when.
Right.
And I don't know where, you know, in time that changed, but at some point it did. I guess maybe when music became more accessible. I mean, you know, you couldn't go and, a lot of people didn't even have a radio, you know, and I mean, that was what they did. They called dances. They'd have dances, but they called them frolics, you know, and they'd get, I'd heard an old banjo player, Carly Marion from Dobson, he talked about they'd get the work all put up and they'd go over to so-and-so's house for a frolic, you know, and that's what they did for entertainment. That's how a lot of them met their spouses, you know, and so it's just, I don't know, it's just different than, you know, how things are now. Mm-hmm. Not that different is bad, but, you know, it's just kind of interesting to learn about and understand the history of it.
Well, I think a lot of folks will find this interesting, and I certainly have. I've liked listening to bluegrass and some old-time music for a long time now. But like you, I didn't like it at first when I first heard it. My first I guess real exposure to it was on WPAQ on a little transistor radio when I was a kid, and I happened to pick it up, and what is that? And it was interesting, but thought about it and put it in the back of my head, you know, listened to other things. Later, when I was able to work at the Merlefest in Wilkesboro in high school as a volunteer, I think that's when it really clicked with me, and seeing it performed and seeing how passionate people are about old-time music, I think that's when it really sort of sunk in and I developed an appreciation for it. Hopefully other folks will too here, and we appreciate you sharing with us today.
Oh yeah, thank you.
Appreciate your time, Mike, and thanks for the opportunity.
Certainly.
Now here's Robbie playing Tempe, Roll Down Your Bangs.
Tempe, roll down your bangs. Oh, Tempe, roll down your bangs. Oh, it's roll down your bangs and see how they hang. Oh, Tempe, roll down your bangs. I wish it was a mole in the ground. I wish it was a mole in the ground. As a mole in the ground, I'd root these mountains down. Oh, I wish it was a mole in the ground. Tempe, where'd you stay last night? Oh, Tempe, where'd you stay last night? Oh, I stayed down in the bend with them rough and rowdy men. Oh, Tempe, where'd you stay last night? I wish was a lizard in the spring. I wish was a lizard in the spring. As a lizard in the spring, I could hear old Tempe sing. Oh, I wish was a lizard in the spring. Tempe won't say $9 show. Oh, my Tempe won't say $9 show. When I come over that hill with a $20 bill, she'll say, baby, where you been so long?
Are you in need of print work? For nearly 100 years, the Tylersville Times has provided printing services for the businesses, churches, and individuals of Alexander County. Many folks don't know that we offer business cards, newsletters, brochures, receipt books, business forms, raffle tickets, bulletins, invoices, carbonless forms, calendars, invitations, full-color envelopes, and more. We make printing simple for you. Call us at 828-632-2532 or send an email to ads@taylorsvilletimes.com.